Hello, this is Les Brown, Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show. Listen, continue to listen, and you'll discover your greatness.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, David here, and welcome to the Kick-Ass Life Show. And, you know, this idea of a kick-ass life, the idea of truly, truly amplifying your life in such a beautiful way, and to truly be able to, I say, look at your life and know that all areas, relationships, financially, physically, emotionally, that in your adventures, that you truly do lead an extraordinary life. And remember, some of you are just starting out on that journey. These concepts can be new. The concept of a kick-ass life, the concept that we have control, the concept that we can truly have whatever we want. Remember, you know, it's impossible to discover new oceans unless we have the courage to lose sight of the shore, which means that we're going to have to let go of what we currently have and move into new realms. And so, you know, I want you to listen to this song, and I want you to think, again, you can use the word woman here instead of man, but I really love this idea of responsibility and the idea of the man in the mirror.
Disregard a broken bottle top and a one-man flow. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one got to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
That's right. You want to make a change in the world, take a look at yourself. And that's what this is all about, taking a look at yourself. I am entering into a new chapter with my work right now. I really want to get writing. I've got a lot of books laying inside of me. So I'm going to be choosing to bring back some shows. So on this particular day, you're going to be listening to some shows that I've aired in the past. Some of my favorite shows that have just really beautiful content. And again, that will free up a little bit more time for me to be able to write right now. But don't worry, I'm still going to be coming to you with a brand new show every single week that you can enjoy, that will allow us to amplify our lives and amplify the way that we walk through the world, amplify our results and our finances, and truly, really, really live a kick-ass life. So with that being said, I hope you enjoyed today's show. And don't forget, again, I'll have a 30-minute show for you every week where we'll delve into and truly explore everything that you need to explore to truly live a kick-ass life.
So I just want to say, Miguel, thank you so much for being on the call. So many people have asked that you be on the podcast, on the show. And I know how busy you've been. You just got back from a trip from Australia, but you're traveling around the world and the impact you have. So first off, I want to say welcome and thank you.
Well, it's a big pleasure to be with you and with everybody who has listened to us.
Well, and you know, I want to go back and you know, you were one of 13 children, and you have a very special family legacy, this Toltec legacy of really understanding the old way of thinking, and I want you to, can you just explain a little bit about what that means? What does it mean to have this Toltec philosophy that your family embraced for so many years?
Well, I think that I'm extremely lucky to be part of this family. You know, like you say, I am number 13 and I'm the youngest one. And since I was a child, what I learned is that everything is possible. The only thing that we need to do in order to make our dreams come true is to have a strong will and discipline, and everything is possible.
And
you know,
and so with your family, they taught that they inbred the possibility in you. But I wonder with this Toltec, because so many people around the world, I don't know if they understand what that means, that the Toltec traditions, the Toltec mindset, the Toltec ways of thinking. What does that mean to you when someone says, you know, a Toltec philosophy? How do you describe that to people?
Okay, well, first, I'd like to, for everybody to understand that growing up, being a child, you make the assumption that everybody sees the whole world the way that you see the whole world. You know, it's a little shock, not that big, when you go to an elementary school and start seeing that people live in a completely different way. And becomes a bigger shock as you grow up. Well, to the word Toltec means artist. It's in the Nahuatl language, Toltec means artist. Then in that point of view, every single human is an artist. It doesn't matter where they was born, doesn't matter what language they speak, it's not important what religion are they follow. Everybody is a creator, is an artist. And we can see that our creation is the story of our own life and the one we live. And we don't have the awareness that it's just a story. We make the assumption that everything that we perceive, what we believe, is true. But in that way, we create an entire reality that is not real, but relative. It's a virtual reality that is only truth for us. Then this is the biggest masterpiece of art that we create, a story of ourselves. Then in order to create that piece of art, we learn a language. In that language, the whole society download into our brain everything that they know, and they help us to be part of that society. Then with that language, we create what we can understand as the main character of our story, which means what we believe we are. We create our own identity. In that way, everything that we perceive, we qualify it, we distort it, and we keep it into a whole belief system. And the ones we are the very center of the universe, and everyone that we know is just a secondary character. And we don't have the awareness that the same way that we create our story, everyone around us, they also create their own story. And in their story, we are only secondary characters. When we create our identity, we use what we believe is the truth to create that identity. But we are not aware that even that we perceive the truth all the time, we distort it and we create our own truth, our personal truth. And that way we can understand that in a planet who is inhabited by 7 billion people and everyone believe that they have the truth and everybody else is wrong, then we can understand so easily all this misunderstanding that exists in the entire humanity.
Miguel, I want to ask you a question just on what you're saying. If everyone's creating the story, which I understand exactly what you mean, but everyone's out there, they're creating their own story, their own reality, they have their own way of seeing the world. Why do you think so many people see, they don't see the possibility, they don't see that everything's possible? You grew up in a household where you knew and you were taught that everything was possible, but so many of the world don't see that. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's the majority of the people don't believe this is true. And the reason is because they learn from their family, their society, that number one, that we are not perfect, which is the biggest lie that we humans believe, the idea of imperfection. And since that moment, we start searching for that perfection because we want to be good enough for everybody else. And that way, we create our own limitations. Then we learn from our parents, from society, from the teachers, that there's so many things that are not possible. Then we grow up with that idea that there's so many limitations. And in that way, we can believe that there's so many things that are impossible for us to reach. But the truth is that we really can reach whatever we want to. But we have to be wise enough to see what is what we want. Because many times we want to do things that we really don't want it to. And of course, we are working against ourselves to reach certain goals because it's not exactly what we want to. And that's the reason why if we have a strong will and we have the discipline, everything can be possible. Like in my personal story, I was in college and I decided that I want to be a medical doctor. Well, to become a medical doctor, I really need the discipline to go all the time to all those classes to learn and the will to read all those books. Then it was many years, but I make the plans for the future for that possibility, knowing that maybe it will never become a medical doctor because I don't know if I die today or I die tomorrow and in a month and I will not accomplish. But we make plans to live forever, but living every single day like this is the last day of our life. When we do that, then we really can enjoy every single moment of our life. And we are dreaming all the time. We're creating that story. And with that planning, if we really want something, for sure it will happen. Maybe not all the time the way we want it to happen. But when we see retrospectively what is past already, we can see how life takes us in so many different directions. In any way, we reach the goal that we want to. Because when we go in that as deep as this, we will find out that every single human being, he come into this planet Earth with one mission only. That is the same for every single human. And that mission is to enjoy life, to be happy, to make ourselves happy. Now, how to accomplish that mission, there's 7 billion different ways, one for each one of us, because only we know what is what we like, what is what we don't like, what is what we want, what is what we don't want. Then we can see that with that point of view, every single human is unique. There is no one like you. He never was anyone like you and never will be anyone like you. Then you are unique. Then only you can be yourself. You cannot be anybody else. And by being yourself, you are always already perfect. You don't need to try to be what you are not. It's so simple. It's just to be authentic, just to be what you are.
And Miguel, I want to talk about this perfection because I think it's so fascinating that you know, this myth that people live under where, you know, they're attempting at all costs to be perfect in the eyes of others and not thinking that they're perfection. What you're saying, and which I love, is this idea that we are perfection. Can you talk a little bit more about how people get lost in the journey to try to be perfect and how they start to put their masks on and try to fit in and try to sort of how society starts to mold them where they lose their happiness in the quest for perfection when in fact you would argue that they're already perfect?
Well, it's very simple to understand. You know, if we focus our attention in everything that exists around us, from the stars to the planets, to the atoms, to nature. We only will find perfection in everything. Then how is possible that the only ones that are not perfect are the humans? It's completely illogical. What is true is that we are not aware of our own perfection. And the reason is because the way we was educated, the way we was trained, the way we was domesticated, we learn from everybody around us that nobody is perfect, and we believe it. We believe that lie. Since we were children, when we go to school, the teachers told us that we are in the school because we need to learn in order to become somebody that make our parents be proud of us, that make society be proud of us. Then we need to work so hard to become that kind of perfection, to be perfect. And that's when the search for perfection really begins. It's like a chariot that the donkey never will reach. And we keep going and going and going because it's not real. The truth is that everyone is perfect just the way it is. Everyone. It doesn't matter if we have a Down syndrome or any malformation. It doesn't matter. It is perfect because every single human is unique, like I say a little before. No one is like you, and you cannot be like anybody else. You only can be yourself. The problem is that we try to be somebody else. We hear so many opinions, and everybody tells us the way we should be, and we try to please everybody else. And this is the big problem, trying to please everybody else, to hear all the judgments, all their opinions that only create insecurity because we really don't believe in ourselves. And this is the main problem because we don't have faith in ourselves. We don't trust ourselves. We are searching outside for what we already have inside because we are perfect. We don't need to search for perfection.
You know, you talk about this search. I want to go back a little bit so people who don't know your story well can understand a little bit of the journey you've been on. We talked about you being the youngest of 13 children, about your family's, the legacy of your family around the Toltec traditions. But you decided with your brothers as well to get into, to become a surgeon. You became a neurosurgeon. And while you were working in that area, you realized that what needed to be healed was not only the physical brain, but the human mind and spirit. And then something happened. You have this car accident, which makes you start to see the world differently. And it sort of brings you back to your roots, and you go on to become a shaman. And I wonder if you can say, take us back to that time where you started to walk this path, where you left the conventional world of medicine and started really making an impact. And this was around the time you started to write your book, which was 7 years a bestseller in the New York Times, 7 years, and really has impacted millions and millions of people around the world. But I wonder if you could take me back to this sort of realization, this moment where you were a neurosurgeon one moment, you have this car accident, and then you start to ask yourself a different set of questions.
Okay, well, everything really begins when I was around 10 or 11. And what happened is a tragedy in my family. An older brother who was 19 years old, he died in a car accident. And he's the kind of a man who was a rebel, who was always was doing what he wanted to do. And of course, the family believed that he was the black sheep of the family because he only do what he loved to do. Then everybody have a lot of judgments about him. But as soon as he died, he becomes the biggest hero. Then being 10, 11 years old, it was a little difficult for me to understand everybody around that a little before, everybody have the judgments, the opinions about him. And as soon as he died, he becomes the biggest hero. Everybody want to be with him. Everybody say, oh, this is, they only have the guts to do whatever he want to do, et cetera, et cetera. then in that moment, I knew that everybody was really pretending. It's like I've been in a masquerade where everybody is pretending to be what they are not. Then in that moment, I couldn't trust anymore anybody. Then I have to trust really myself. It was a little difficult for someone that young. Then when I really never leave my roots, my legacy, they come from my parents, the way of the artist. What happened is that I went into medical school. I became a surgeon, and I'm not really a neurosurgeon. It's my brother, Carlos, who is a neurosurgeon, but I did a lot of neurosurgery with him. Then without the training of a neurosurgeon, I becomes just being a general surgeon, I becomes closer and closer to be a neurosurgeon. But in a certain moment, what I noticed as a result of that tragedy when I have 10, 11 years old, is to see that the problem was not really in the brain, but it was in the mind, it's in the beliefs and what everybody believed. Then I decided to change my direction. I never really leave medicine, because going into the mind is just another direction of a medicine, and medicine is an art. Toltec means artist. Then just to explore the human mind, I need to practice with whoever is available. Then I become a shaman in order to really start understanding more and more how the mind works, and I start practicing what my grandfather used to practice, Don Leonardo, and what his father used to practice. It's a whole legacy that comes from for how long. I have so many stories about my family. In that stories, they tell me that we come directly from the Mexicas, the Aztecs, that after the conquest, all the Eagle Knights went in different directions and they create what we know as the Nahualism. The Nahual is the guide, the one who knows that we are perfect, the ones who knows that life is an ongoing masterpiece of art, and we're more realistic even that we know that we're dreaming all the time. Anyway, I have this car accident. In that time, the accident was because I drink too much and I decide to drive. And I slip on the wheel and the car crashed to a concrete wall. But what makes a difference is that I see my body sleeping, I protect my body, and even that the car was total, my body was completely healthy. Nothing happened to my body. And that was a beginning because for me, it was no longer a theory. In my personal story, that was completely real. I know that I'm not my physical body. And of course, I remember that classes of physics when the teacher told us that matter cannot be moved by itself. It need a force to move matter, and if the matter is already in movement, it need a force to stop matter, but matter by itself cannot be moved. Then I see my own physical body, I see my hands moving, and I know that my physical body is matter, but I also see that force who moves matter is what I really am, and I live in this physical body. And in that car accident, I see my physical body and I protect it from the outside. It was a little difficult for me to comprehend that. It takes a little time to digest the whole thing. And at that time, I wanted to have the same experience, but without the accident, and start living my physical body. And of course, this is just a story that is solely true for me. And I really don't pretend that anybody believe or not in that, but this is just the way I see my own reality. And it's as close as the truth that I can get until in 2002, February 28, I have a major heart attack, and I was 9 weeks in coma. then that that experience becomes even stronger, because I have a great experience while I was in that coma. I really start seeing everything in a completely different way, even though my body was unconscious. Anyway, after 9 weeks, when I woke up from that coma, I received the news from the doctors that my heart was so damaged that only was working in the 16% of its capacity, which means that I hardly have any blood from my innards, from my muscles, and I was always in pain. And my doctor also told me that from that day, I have to change completely my way of life, that there was no way that I can keep traveling, doing lectures, doing retreats, to be the way I used to be before this heart attack. And of course, I didn't say anything to the doctors, but when I went back home and I talked to my 3 children, I told them that there was no way that I would stay in a sofa watching TV or reading books, waiting for death to come and take me. I say, and no one really can stop me, because I will do what is my passion, to go with everybody and let them know that there's a different way of life, that if we can shift our point of view and start seeing everything with the point of view of art, we only will see beauty and we see perfection and we become completely responsible for our own creation, for the creation of our reality, for the creation of our story. Then to go everywhere and let everybody know that if they don't like the story that they create, only they can change it and nobody can change it. Because the only way to change their own story is not by changing everybody around us. It's by changing the main character of our story, which means what we believe we are, to change our own identity. Because that identity is just like a mask that we use, that everybody perceives us in that way. We wish that everybody perceives us the way we want to be perceived, but the truth is that nobody perceives us in that way. But we believe that they perceive us in that way. You know, we present an image to everybody, but everybody will distort that image. And they will qualify us in their own personal way, and they will create a secondary character in their story that has nothing to do with what we really are.
So Miguel, mm-hmm. I just want to ask a question along this, because I'm imagining we have people listening. In fact, I was with a 12-year-old a boy and a 10-year-old girl the other day that listen into the show. And we have 88-year-old people. I mean, there's people from all walks of life. There's people who are just waking up to the possibility that they can really become the masters of their own story. They can write themselves into a great adventure. They can write themselves into an epic story. But they're just waking up to this. And I can almost hear them thinking right now, when you talk about this possibility of rewriting that story, of really changing our world from the inside out, What is some of those first steps? So, I mean, imagine a mom right now. She's at home. She's got 5 kids. She's single. She's working 3 jobs. And she's listening to this. And the hope in your voice is there. What would you suggest to her to do next? What's the journey after this? How does she move forward?
Oh, well, the first step is to understand that she lives in a story that she creates. It's her own creation. Mm-hmm. This is the very first thing that she has to be aware. She's living in a story she created, and the way she lived the story is the result of all the choices that she made in her life. It's not either good or bad or right or wrong. It's just the way it is. Once that she has that awareness, then the next step is to see herself as unique, that there's nobody like her. That never was anybody like her and never will be anyone like her, that she is unique. And just because of that, she's perfect just the way she is. that she don't need to be like anybody else. And even if she want to, she never will be like anybody else. And neither anybody can be like her. Once that she understand that, for sure she will start taking responsibility to her own creation. Once that she knows that, then she have to see about the conflict that exists in her mind. Because for thousands of years, we used to believe that the conflict that exists in the human mind is between good and bad. But good and bad is just the result of the real conflict that exists in the mind. And the real conflict that exists in the mind is between the truth and lies. Then the result of believing truth is goodness. And the result of believing lies is being bad in so many different degrees. Depends how many or how deep the lies that we believe. Then once that she start understanding that, then she may understand that all those lies will not survive the presence of the truth. That as soon as she focuses more her attention on the truth, that will challenge all the lies that she believed all of her life, which means all the limitations, all the traumas that she have, all the judgments, all the trying to be perfect for everybody else, then she will find out by the end that the only purpose that she is in this planet Earth is to enjoy life. And that will change everything. Then she will find out that in her story, if she tried to change all the secondary characters, nothing will change. That the only thing that really can change the whole story is by changing the main character. And then that main character is what she believes she is, which is her own identity. Because she will find out that that identity is not even real. It's just what we believe we are. And when she really goes so close to the truth, what she will find out is that she don't even know what she is. And it's okay. It's wonderful. Because there is no words to explain what we really are. And there's no words because we are the ones who create the language. And all the language is only true because we agree in the meaning of every single word, in the meaning of every single sentence. Then because millions of us agree in every word in English, that's why we can understand each other, but it doesn't mean that what we say is the truth. But we use it to get closer and closer to that truth. Then, like we say before, we create our own personal truth as an image of the real truth, but it's been distorted for what we believe. It doesn't mean that the truth doesn't exist. Of course the truth exists. And the truth exists long before the creation of humanity and will exist long after the extinction of humanity, that the truth doesn't need that we humans believe or not in the truth. It just exists. But on the other hand, all those lies only exist in our mind because we believe in those lies. But the moment that we stop believing in all those lies will just disappear and only the truth will remain.
When we look at this, again, I'm going back to this lady listening to you here, and I can sense now as you talk about this, you know, the truth versus lies and these lies of limitations, of traumas, of judgments, of the quest to be perfect. And that this solidary truth has existed before the existence of humanity and will exist long after. And that all of the lies only are present in each of us. So I'm hearing all that. When this lady, and we're using her as an example for everyone, when she starts to step into this place And we're talking about her circumstances. So many people get trapped because their circumstances, they come home, they're not in the right house, they don't have the right car, she's struggling financially. Do you find then, as people step into this truth, as they step into this love of self, I think is where we're heading, this idea of understanding the uniqueness of yourself, is that where you start to attract to the things to you, or do things become less important? I mean, does she just become happier in the home she's in, or does she start to attract more of the beautiful things, more beautiful people? What happens next when she starts to live in this place?
Okay, once that she understands that her whole life is just her creation, it's just a story, and if she don't like the story, once that she starts changing the main character, which means what she believes she is, she will find out that the whole story will have a big resistance to change, which means all the friends, all the business, all the family, everything that she's used to. And this, that's everything that she was learning all of her life. And she may also be aware that the real needs that the physical body have, they are so little, and it's so easy to fulfill all those needs. That all those big needs that we believe we have, there's only needs of the mind. You know, like, let's see, this girl opened the closet that is full of clothes. She see everything and she say, oh, I have nothing to wear. They have a lot of shoes and she say, oh, none of those shoes work for me. Then we can see that we create all those needs in the mind that they are not real. Then when we have that awareness and we start shifting that story, we also relearn to love what we believe we are. We start loving ourselves. We are no longer trying to please everybody else. We start learning really to give to ourselves what is the best for us. Then once that she starts seeing that and she starts shifting, she will find out that there's so many things that she should let go. And everything that she really let go will create an empty space that she can bring something new that will work better for her. In that way, she's getting happier and happier and happier. Then as you see, it's a process that is not happening from one day to the next. Because to change our own world, it takes time. Because it's a, like we say before, it's a big conflict in the mind. And that conflict is between the truth and lies. And there's so many lies. And there's only one truth, really. You know, 2,000 years ago, one of the greatest masters told to the disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And free to be whatever you are, to be yourself. That the only thing that really stops us to be ourselves is all those lies that we believe. Then, as you see, it's a whole process. What we can call as the Toltec philosophy, we can say the philosophy of the artist, or we can say the philosophy of the truth. Because once that, let's see, the truth win in our mind, then all those internal dialogue, all that noise that happened in our mind that nobody can hear but us, will stop, and we will get that inner peace. We'll be always content with ourselves and with everything around us. And it doesn't matter if our body is sick or feels in pain, we are enjoying life. Because now we have a completely different awareness. And we are not looking for people feel sorry for us. No. It's like when I have the, after the heart attack, I keep doing my lectures. I keep doing all those retreats. I can share in myself wherever I go. even if my body was in pain. And nobody noticed that my body was in pain. I was for 8.5 years in that way until finally I didn't die. And I decided, okay, I need a new heart. And that's why almost two years ago, I have a heart transplant. And of course, my life changed once again. For being completely incapacitated, I become with a new power on myself. You know, since July last year, when my doctors tell me that now I can be the way it used to be before, it's been non-stopping. I've been in many different countries already, and I'm completely full until the end of this year. And I will keep being in that way because this is my passion.
But I think it's interesting, though, Miguel, when I saw you, we were together a year ago, and then we were together about a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago. And it really was noticeable to me how much stronger, and you've only had your heart for 2 years. It's the heart of a 20-year-old. But you truly, when you were on stage and you were presenting, you did something where you stood for maybe 5 or 6 minutes in complete silence, and you looked out into the room, and obviously you'd been in this room for two or three days, you'd been hanging out with everyone, but just you were just on stage to present for maybe an hour, but you did this one piece where you looked out. And you looked into people's hearts, and you smiled in a way that I've never seen before. And you asked a question. You said, "Can you hear me?" And you were in complete silence. And as I looked around the room, I saw people with tears flooding down their face, this real deep connection of humanity in the purest and most beautiful sense. What do you think was happening in that moment? How is your journey from a young boy and the lessons you've had, and then a near fatal accident, and then of course almost dying with your heart, 16% function in your heart, and then a new heart's given to you, and here you are again in this sort of resurgence of this message you have, but in the quietest of moments, you can stand in front of a group of people and move them to the very core of their being, to the point of absolute understanding without saying a word. What is that all about?
Well, what happened is that I bypass knowledge. I bypass the language, and I connect with what they really are. And there's no words to really explain that. You know, it's that force that moves matter. And it's the same force that moves the clouds, the ocean, everything. Then I'm really talking to myself. I use the language for they to understand it, but the real message is without the language. It's just with my presence. You know, it's like when you have your child, the newborn child, you don't need to talk to the child. You know, just the presence of your child awake all your instincts, and you will protect it. You will do whatever unconditionally for that child. And that's the reason why Jesus say to the children, whoever is like a child belongs to the kingdom of heaven. And what I told everybody, that now we are too old to grow up. Because the truth is that we all are children pretending to be adults, pretending to be that everything that we are doing is so important.
Yeah.
But the truth is that we are just playing. We are enjoying life. That's the point.
So when you talk about truth, and you talk about truth existing before the emergence of man, and it will last a lot. How do you describe that truth? Is it love? Is there a description you have for the truth?
Or Well, we can say that the truth and God are synonymous. The truth and love are synonymous. And we can say that love is a equilibrium between gratitude and generosity. This is the best way that I can put it in words. It is exactly the same with the truth. It's exactly the same with God, which is only just a word, it's just a concept, but they're synonymous. You know, like in science, we can say that we don't believe in God. We believe in the truth. Well, we're saying the same thing. And science is also a religion. We humans, we like all those rituals all the time. And we are so ritualistic in everything. Then since we're children, we want to know the truth. And we get closer and closer and closer to the truth. It's wonderful. But we can call it God. It's exactly the same thing. The only thing is the connotation that we give to those words. But there's nothing but words. It doesn't need really connotation. Believe it or not believe it, everything exists the way it is. And it's perfect.
Miguel, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. And it's a little edgy, and I just thought, you know, and the people that are attracted to be on the show like yourself, some beautiful transformational thinkers and leaders in the world. And I wonder if you could describe what it would be to live a kick-ass life. If someone's listening in, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to have a kick-ass life?
Well, it's really, there's no meaning, really. You know, the truth is always kicking the life's ass.
Yeah.
Then if you see any drama and any movie, you know, there's a whole drama and everything ends when the truth arrives. And after that, everything is happy. Everything is over. But all those lies goes all around and there's all this... And the truth arises and everything is solved. Well, we can be solved all the time. We can witness the lies going around, but we don't believe it. You know, that's the fifth agreement. Be skeptical, but learn to listen.
Well, Miguel, as we come to the end of this, I'm going to invite you to come back on another time. I would love to talk about the five agreements, really, the fifth agreement you just mentioned. But the intention I had initially was to talk about that. But of course, you know, you're such a beautiful ambassador of everything that I feel is perfect in our world. And I just want to say thank you for being who you are. I'm so glad that we get to play together once or twice a year. And your wonderful partner, Ava, she is such a remarkable person, a lady, woman, ambassador herself. So I just want to say thank you for being on the show and thank you for all the love you bring to the world. And I want to invite you back for another time where we can talk again.
Okay, let's do it again and give all my love to everyone.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bless you. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and don't forget, it's those small things. You can make a small adjustment here, a little tweak there. It's nuances and distinctions, and that's where how you get to leading an extraordinary life. You don't have to change everything at once. And really remember that to be kind to yourself. This is a journey. This is a climb. It's wonderful. And you're never going to look back. You're going through hard stuff sometimes. You don't look back and wish it never happened. You look back and you say, I'm glad it happened. And it's hard to know that when you're in it. So don't worry about it too much. Again, remember, it's a magnificent journey. And don't forget, you can come play with me. I have another show called Amplified Network Marketing. Again, please come join me there. Go to amplifiednetworkmarketing.com and look for our events. We do events all over the world. And if you want to come play with us, I would love to meet you personally, get to know you, and begin our journey of friendship. So with that being said, listen to these words and think about your life and what do you want? How extraordinary will it become? And how are you going to amplify yourself, your life, so that you can truly have a kick-ass life? It is The Climb, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? I will definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.